Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here today. We're going to go ahead and get started, and we just want to welcome you. Glad for your presence. Have a chance here to share announcements, and so you can see some of these on the back of your bulletins. Anyone have something to add?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone that helped with the bake sale yesterday and those who provided the baked goods. We did make $262. And I've gotten some donations this morning, and there's a few things left in the back there. So if go ahead and take those. There's a box there to put your donation money into. So, but we appreciate everything that everybody has done. And also, next Sunday is the last Sunday for your items for the March newsletter. So please bring those and let me know if you have anything to add.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Maxine, your help there with the bulletin and the newsletter. And all the ladies' aides efforts for us. Others?
I just want to announce that back on the back bench is a flyer and forms. The auxiliary next door will be doing Easter pies, so if anybody wants to fill a form out, just put it in my mailbox and I'll get them and take care of them. But it's on the back bench there.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Any others? All right, we thank you for your kids of food there. You can see the total there this year was 88 kids to the Thurmont Food Bank. Appreciate all your efforts in that regards. I also thought you might like to know that today is a celebration that's going on in Israel. It's the 15th day of their month, and it's a new year for the trees. And so during this celebration, it's the beginning of their agricultural cycle. And specifically focusing on the trees and tithing the fruit and the symbol of newness both in the land of Israel and in our personal lives. And so we again rejoice as we celebrate this weather that we're having, winter. They're over there, they're having the beginning of their spring. So kind of like we celebrate the cherry blossoms here in D.C., it'd be kind of like that for them over there this weekend. And so we praise God for his newness that is taking place in the land of Israel. I don't know if you're familiar there with what's going on, but they are having revival in the midst even of the war that's going on, and their congregations there are growing. The King of Kings in Jerusalem is opening two more congregation satellites around the country, and so good things are happening in the land. Any others? Let us begin with this prelude. Call to worship comes from Psalms 107. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Would you pray with me, please? Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that we can come into your house on your day and to celebrate your goodness and all that you've given to us. And so, Lord, we do praise you this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, come have your way. We pray your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and move us to a closer obedience and walk with you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing, and we'll sing hymn number 221. may be seated. We do want to acknowledge the gifts that have come in through the offering box there in the back, and continued support of the congregation. We're grateful for that. The stewardship message here comes from Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats with brim over with new wine. So God promises prosperity and blessing to those who give, and give generously in response to his asking us to share our tithes and our offerings. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your plan. Thank you for the way that you have put things into motion. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have set up cycles of riches. And Lord, we just ask that you would move mightily in this congregation. Thank you for those who have given and responded to the work of the Lord here in this place. And we pray that the blessings and the offerings that have come in would be used mightily and wisely for your blessing and here and the ministry here on the Ridge, but also that would touch lives around the world. And so, God, would you continue to multiply and use greatly the resources that have been coming in, and that you would bless. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Joys and concerns. We'd like to hear what is on your prayer list. Who would like to begin? Say. Thank you. And
Virginia Travis and Cody.
Yes.
And the Baker family, and Debbie goes for test tomorrow. Hope she gets good results.
Okay. Yes.
Keep the Mike Miller family in prayer. We found out that Mike passed away this week. He grew up in this area. He worked for many, many years, him and his wife both at Ardon. Just keep the Miller family in your prayers.
Okay, thank you. Prayers for the Miller family. Others? Frank?
I continue to keep my wife in the prayer list, and all others that are having physical health issues and so forth. And we want to also bring peace and love and compassion to the whole world. Especially over in the Israel area.
Yes, and the rest of the hostages to come home.
Yes.
I believe it's 78 still in captivity. Three more were released this weekend. Thank you. Any others?
Let's continue to pray for not only this country, the whole world, that sanity comes back.
Yes, Linda.
Okay,
thank you. Prayers for Brother Bob. And you're probably hearing me. I'm sounding probably a little nasally today. I've been fighting the cold again this week.
It don't leave.
It hangs on. It keeps coming back. That's right. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. We'll end with the Lord's Prayer then. Dear Father in heaven, we just pause in your presence in a moment of silence to share that which is on our hearts. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for these that have shared here in the congregation. We pray, Lord, you would move in each situation. For those who have been sick, we pray you would bring healing and wholeness. We pray for our young people. Meet the needs of Travis and Cody and others, Lord. Those who are trying to find their way in the world. We pray for each family represented in our congregation, especially the Bakers. Meet their needs, Lord, we pray. Be with Sister Debbie as she goes for tests tomorrow. We pray there would be good results. We pray for the hand of comfort to be upon those who have lost loved ones, and especially the Miller family. Be with Sister Pat and Brother Bob. And pray, Lord, that you would have your hand in the world, moving mightily those that have positions of authority to make decisions, that they would be wise, that they would lead to peace. We know there are so many troubled spots in the world, and we ask, Lord, for a sense of common sense, a sense of right, a sense of justice. We pray, Lord, that there are those who are struggling with natural disasters, the mudslides in California now after the rain, after the fires. God, we pray you would be with those who are dealing with all kinds of weather phenomena, hurricanes and earthquakes, those who are dealing with famine. Lord, we pray that you would feed those who are hungry. God, help us as Christians to respond in a way that you would have us. We pray, Lord, not just for our congregation, but for the church as a whole. May she be bright in this dark hour. May she be able to reach out and with the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, have your way. Not our will, but your will. Teach us again how to pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Join me in standing, if you're able, to sing hymn number 126.
Joy.
You may be seated. You have within your bulletins the scripture for today is Psalms 1, and this is the first psalm in the book of Psalms, and the psalms were sung thousands of years ago, and so instead of reading it today, I would like for you to hear it sung. This is the new Psalms project, Maxine graciously here will show us, and we'll hear this psalm sung. Thank you. Would you pray for me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sister. The sun is shining on a warm, late spring, early summer day. Puffy white clouds float along in the clear blue sky. A light breeze is blowing, and you can hear the babbling of the brook as the cold water rushes by. The meadow is green, new flowers are blooming, and near the water's edge stands a tree. Its limbs are full of fruit, fresh for the picking. It's an ideal spot for a break, for a picnic, for time to relax, to think, to enjoy life, to simply breathe. We all have those places that we'd like to go to, right? Mentally when we're stressed and physically when we want a vacation. And David, the shepherd boy, dreamed of a place like that. In a dry climate like Israel, he saw the value in refreshment. He wrote Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Pastor Sam is going to probably share in the sermon very soon about Psalms 23. But David probably also wrote this psalm, Psalms 1. He was enjoying God's presence. It probably felt like a favorite spot. It felt like a place to be. He felt restored, and he delighted in God's word. You may think of a place nearby, like maybe the park over at the Covered Bridge, where we have our baptisms, or maybe a vacation spot far away. Might be a cabin in the Smoky Mountains. Might be a tropical island on a sunny day. Maybe a shopping day in a major city. Or a day at the beach sipping a cold drink. Watching the sun rise or the sun set at a favorite overlook. Where would you like to be right now? Where is your happy place? The lectionary scripture for us today is Psalms 1. And it's a reminder of the refreshment, the restoration, the rejuvenation that we can experience when we simply spend time in God's Word. It is a place to go to. It is like going on vacation, or as the Brits say, holiday. They like to go on holiday. Note that Psalms 1 here is the first hymn in a songbook. And we may not have the tune. The tune has been lost to us. But we have the words. And we can hear again that psalm in several different translations. So just think about that favorite place and hear again God's word. In the New King James, we find these words. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor walk in the way of the sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that his fruit bear forth in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Good News Bible puts it this way. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil men, who do not follow the example of sinners, or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They're like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time and whose leaves do not dry. They succeed in everything they do. But evil men are not like this at all. They're like straw that the wind blows away. Sinners will be condemned by God, but kept apart from God's own people. The righteous are guided and protected by the Lord, but the evil are on the way to their doom. Here's how the Message puts it. It is a paraphrase of the same scripture. A little bit different, a little bit more modern. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who were mere wind-blown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row. And then finally this paraphrase. This is more of a Scottish kind of rhythm to it. The man in life, wherever placed, hath happiness in store, who walks not in the wicked's way, nor learns their guilty lore, nor from the seat of scornful pride casts forth his eyes abroad, but with humility and awe still walks before his God. That man shall flourish like the trees which by the streamlets grow. The fruitful top is spread on high and firm the root below. But he who blooms buds in guilt shall to the ground be cast, and like rootless stubble toast before the sweeping blast. For why? That God the good adore, hath given them peace and rest, but hath decreed that wicked men shall never be truly blessed. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Some might find this a happy place. This might be a place to go to, especially on Sunday morning, we hope so. But we're to delight ourselves in the Lord wherever we are, and he shall give us the desires of our hearts. Webster defines that delight is to please very much, to take great pleasure in or with it. Did you know that the word delight is found about 80 times in the scriptures? 9 times in Psalms 119. Now 119 is one of the longest psalms there is, but 9 times it talks about delight in that psalm. Might be something you want to read later. David encourages here in verse 2 of this psalm to delight in the law of the Lord. And so let me ask, do you delight yourself in the Lord and in his word? We know we should, but do you know that it's one of the things that God promises to reward? God promises to reward us when we delight in him and his word. Did you know there are 7 daily disciplines that God promises to reward? Wouldn't you like to have some of those rewards? The first is reading God's word. 1 Peter 2:2. You know, Jesus said in Luke 4:4 that we should not have bread alone, but we should live by every word of God. And Joshua was commanded in verse 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You might be prosperous and have good success." And so reading God's word is very important. It is a blessing and there's a reward for those who do it. One of the daily disciplines is reading God's Word. The second one is meditating on Scripture. Psalms 1:2 here tells us that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done for you. And Joshua was instructed to meditate on God's word that he would have success. So one of the promises, one of the secrets to success is meditation. I know you're thinking now, you know, I can't meditate. I can't remember stuff. I have a hard enough time remembering. And so I encourage you to maybe take a little card, write down the scripture and, carry it with you or put it on the post-it on the refrigerator. And the process is that of meditation, not on how much you can remember, but on just the process of getting God's word into our soul. It is a reward waiting for us. That at the right time, the Holy Spirit brings back God's word. We may have forgotten it, but then later we can remember it again. The Holy Spirit will bring that scripture back to us just at the time that we need it. The third reward or promise that God has for us is for those that are praying fervently. We're to go into our prayer closet and we're to pray in secret, and God will reward us openly. Jesus prayed to his Father to seek his will, and Joshua listened, and God said that he would be with him, and that as he was with Moses. And so Joshua had the promise that just as he looked up to Moses, and Moses was his mentor, God would be with him just as he was with Moses, if he prayed fervently. A daily requirement, a daily discipline, that has a reward attached to it. And the fourth one is fasting. Secretly, we are to fast and we will be rewarded openly. Jesus fasted for 40 days before he began his earthly ministry. And Joshua was tested for 40 years with wilderness hungerness. He was hungry, I suspect, many times during that journey through the wilderness. But don't underestimate the power of fasting, especially when coupled with prayer. Fervent prayer and fasting. Remember, one time the disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast this demon out? You know, why couldn't we heal this person? And Jesus said there are some things that require prayer and fasting. And so if you're not getting answers to your prayer, you might try fasting. Fasting doesn't have to be for 40 days. It can be for maybe a particular item. For Lent, I'm going to fast chocolate, or for this item or that item. Or I might fast the noon meal on Wednesday, or something. You can set different boundaries for the fasting and follow that. But don't underestimate the power of adding fasting to prayer. The fifth is giving generously. We sow, and then we reap. It's a basic harvest principle that God has established in the earth and also in his kingdom. And so if we sow sparingly, we're only going to get a little bit. If we sow generously, then we will reap bountifully. Jesus gave himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Joshua gave his life as a leader to the children of Israel during that time in the wilderness. To give generously. I don't know about you, but we have followed a spending plan ever since we got married. And at the top of our budget, we have the offering, the tithe. We have our tithe and offerings right there that comes off the top. First thing, before we pay any bills, we pay our tithes and our offerings. And it has been a blessing to us to do that. When I was a young man in the congregation, we had district conference at our mother church, the Ridge. And I went to that. And during the follow-up, we had some time for people to share things in the congregation. And a sister stood up. I didn't know her, but she gave testimony to the fact of how she was in trouble and was in debt and had problems, and she began to purposely tithe, and she started tithing, and God began to work her out, and currently she was out of debt. And just hearing her share that, her testimony, at that point I said, I want to do that. And so that we've been tithing ever since. You know, God has given us the ability to work, given us our health, and it is a blessing to give back that portion which He's given us. Now, I fuss a little bit when I go out to eat, because it used to be that you tipped 10%. and then they upped it to 15%, and now they give you a bill that says at the bottom, here's 15, 18, and 20%, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, if we're gonna tip the waiter or the waitress 20%, couldn't we give God at least 10? Can't we do that? To give generously is a way to be rewarded openly. And then the sixth one here is rising early. Now, I used to do this when I lived on the farm because we got up early to milk cows. But now that I work to midnight, I don't get to bed till about 1 o'clock. I'm not as early riser as I used to be. But David said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see the power of thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And so rising early is a testament in the scriptures. Jesus rose early while it was yet a great day, before the day, and he went out to pray. And so if Jesus, the Son of God, needed some time alone with his Father before the day began, we do so as well. Joshua rose early in the morning before the fall of Jericho. Got up early, and they remember they marched around Jericho 7 times. They did that early each morning and blew the trumpets. You know, there's something about getting up early, just the sheer shock of it. But there's a blessing and a reward for it. I'm told some of the greats down through the centuries, some great theologians, some great revivalists, some great evangelists, all got up early, spent hours in prayer before their day began. Probably a secret to their success. And then the seventh one, and one that you're keeping, is honoring the Lord's day. Jesus said to do well on the Sabbath. It was okay to do well. It was okay to heal on the Sabbath. It was okay to do well on the Sabbath, and Joshua kept all of the words that Moses had given to him from the Lord. To keep the Sabbath. We live in a day when it's becoming more harder and harder to do that. When sports events are scheduled for Sundays, and blue laws keep the stores open, and people have to work sometimes, it's making that more and more difficult. But if we can have a commitment to honor the Lord, to keep the Sabbath, there is a blessing for it. These 7 disciplines, these 7 practices of faith, are promises that God will reward. Psalms 1, the contrast here between the righteous and the wicked is very important for us to recognize. It says that the person who does these things will be blessed. How many here want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I have been blessed. But God's blessing is even more than we can imagine. And so if we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, you have a decision to make. We often run to our friends first, don't we? What do you think about to go to God first, to not follow the counsel that is worldly? Well, that doesn't make any sense. But God's word says this, so that's what I'm going to do. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not walk in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Instead, a godly person's delights in God's Word. They meditate on it day and night. They will be found standing on the judgment day. They will be found in the congregation of the righteous, and their ways will be known by the Lord. The Lord knows our ways, and He promises to reward. You know, one of my favorite places nearby is the classic picture of sheep in a green pasture. And between Myersville and Wolfsville, there's a farm. It used to be the Grossnickel Farm. It's now the Hurwitz Farm. Patty and Jeff Hurwitz, that own Colonial Jewelers in downtown Frederick, have made that their home, and they have really done a wonderful job in fixing it up and keeping it nice. And as you drive by there on a summer day, you will see a very wonderful, peaceful setting, a stone farmhouse, the barn, and the white sheep grazing in the field. It reminds me of that peaceful kingdom motif with the lion lying down with the lamb, the kingdom that will come. It gets me thinking sometimes, why did Jesus call us His sheep? I mean, God created how many different animals in the world? Thousands, right? And why did He pick sheep to use as an analogy for His people? Well, just some of the characteristics of sheep. You know, I grew up, we didn't have sheep on the farm, and so I didn't really know that much about them. My cousin has some lambs, and I'd like to go over, I think about this time of the year, the lambs are starting to give birth. And so I'd love to see that. But do you know sheep can't survive on their own? We're a domesticated animal. And sheep need the care of others to look after them. Sometimes people say they're dumb sheep. I don't know if that applies to us or not, but sometimes I feel pretty dumb. But sheep can't survive on their own. And sheep need a qualified shepherd. Sheep need to be led to green fields. They need to be kept from each other sometimes. You know, sheep like to nip a little bit at each other. And sheep have problems with flies and getting on their heads and biting and stuff. And so they need that ointment to put on their heads to heal them, to keep them in health, to lead them to green pastures. Sheep have to feed in pastures that are prepared for them. Now, sometimes there's weeds, and sometimes those weeds can be poisonous. And sheep will just eat whatever there is there. And so the shepherd has to be careful where he takes his sheep to remove anything there, lead them to a stream so they can also get water. The shepherds need to prepare the pastures for their sheep. And sheep must be protected, especially when they're eating. Their heads are down, and sheep are easy prey. You know, they can't run very fast, and sheep will tend to fall over sometimes. And so sheep need to be protected from the wolves, from the bears, from the coyotes. Did you know that sheep eat down to the roots? They will just keep munching and munching. They'll actually almost eat the whole plant. They eat right down to the roots of the plant. This is why sheep need to be led to a different pasture. Because if they're kept in the same pasture the whole time, they'll just ruin it. This is why years ago there was the battles out west between the cattlemen and the sheep herders. Because the cattlemen didn't like the pastures being destroyed. And sheep need to finish eating before they begin digestion. They will consume a lot of grass. They will eat and eat and eat, and then later go and lie down, and then their digestion begins. Sheep usually feed in the morning. And especially in a dry place, that's very significant, because they'll get the dew off the grass. They'll get some water as they eat the grass. But they must be at rest then before they begin chewing their food. If a sheep has four stomachs and they begin chewing, they bring it up and they chew it, re-chew it like a cow chews cud, They re-chew that food, and during that first chewing, they'll spit out any sticks or stones that they picked up while eating. Sheep gain the most benefit from their food as they re-chew it. The food, their stomachs are then able to digest and get the nutrients from the grass as they re-chew their food. Sheep need a balance between exercise and eating. Can't just keep eating all the time. They also need to exercise as well to stay in good health. And, you know, sheep will munch their way into danger. They will get off from the rest of the flock. They will wander into, maybe they'll see some grass and they'll head that way, and before they know it, they're in danger. They're apart. And sheep are most vulnerable when they're out there by themselves. There are many analogies about sheep and Christians that abound in the scriptures, and I think this fact we just can't overlook. Jesus calls us his sheep. We are his flock. We can't overemphasize that enough. And to think about sheep and how they live and eat, we are like that. We are God's flock. We are his children. And we need to read and to meditate on God's word. That is our food. That is where we get our energy. That's where we get our nourishment. To delight in the word more than a vacation spot. Now, today would be a great day to be at your happy spot. It's cold and nasty outside. We kind of didn't get the snow, but at least some more snow on the way. But in the dead of winter, with the cold outside, a favorite spot looks very delightful, doesn't it? And in the same way, we are to delight ourselves in God's word. We are to delight ourselves in him. And so, what's stopping you from being refreshed? What's stopping you from being renewed? What's stopping you from going there to be restored and rejuvenated? You can read, right? We can read. We can, with a little effort, memorize a verse or two. We can put a verse that we need on a card, work on it during the week, and eventually it gets into our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And God uses that to nourish us, to help us along the way, to point the way, to tell us when to do, when not to do. And so we can read, we can remember, we can meditate on God's word, to dwell on the scriptures and to enjoy that secret place, to enjoy that happy spot, to enjoy that favorite place that we like to go to. And who doesn't like rewards? When we fly, we like the airlines to give us rewards. When we shop at the grocery store, we like to get those extra points. God promises rewards. For those who do these seven daily practices, God rewards. He promises success. He promises prosperity. He promises joy. You know, like David, we can delight ourselves in the Lord. That's something we can do. And we are instructed to do. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, delight yourself in God's word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. He set the example for us. He leads the way for us, and we are the sheep of your pasture. And so, Lord, help us to memorize, help us to meditate, to read, to delight in you and your word as we practice faith on a daily basis. Forgive us for the times that we've put other things before you, and we've tried to delight ourselves in them instead of you. Remind us of Jesus and Joshua, the others who have gone on before us, who pleased you, in whom you delighted. Thank you, Lord, for your promises of reward for those who daily and are diligent in practicing our faith. I pray, Lord, your blessing on this congregation. Help us to delight in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing as we share together our last hymn, number 73. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.